This morning. Like, I really know who this band is, Kyle Lynch. I always want you to play Train, you know, or Elton John, or that train left a long time ago, or Adele, or some music that I can relate to. Anyway, welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this kind of rainy, cloudy day. But here to brighten up the morning is my good friend Andy Reistender, who is a traveler extraordinaire and explorer of places and people. Andy collects friends all over the world and deposits his smile and positive attitude along the way. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Anne. That was a beautiful introduction. Thank you.
Well, you do. You make everybody smile. You make friends everywhere you go. And you travel all over the place, and I know you keep this diary. You always have a notebook. Does that notebook ever leave your hands?
No, it doesn't.
I looked at your notes several times. I could never decipher what you were writing. How do you read that stuff?
You know, it's a challenge sometimes, but that's the fun of it.
How
people
many
ask
of these?
Me what I,
yeah,
what,
go ahead.
What do I write in my journals? And I write about people that ask me what I write about in my journals.
Exactly. And now, how many of these journals have you collected through the years?
On the personal side, probably about 150. On golf, probably about 70 or 80.
And you write everywhere you go, and, you know, just you have to talk about your trip to Rio, right? Years ago, before the Olympics, even this past summer, in 2013, you went on a 3.5-month, 14-country, 18,471-mile journey to Olympic golf. No, who does that? Andy does. What was that like?
You know, it was awesome. You know, I admit I'm an odd duck. I mean, I've been very blessed to be following the tour for 9 years now. It's my ninth season. Working the Masters every year and just walking there, I was thinking, what's the biggest thing, you know, 4 or 5 years ago? It's the biggest thing in golf, and it was the Olympics, in my opinion. And so I thought, you know, it was last in St. Louis. It's going to be in Rio. That would be a great journey. And my thought was, to visit Olympic cities, you know, I came out of Florida, so Atlanta, St. Louis, Mexico City, extract the spirit of the Olympics and combine it with the history and tradition of golf to define the Olympic spirit of golf. So it was an amazing journey. And you're right, the people along the way were just, they embraced me and they get what I was doing and just hosted me and took care of me and showed me their lives and their golf.
Well, it's something very extraordinary about you is that when you go on these trips, you really don't plan ahead for hotel accommodations, right? You kind of just wing it, and that's what makes it so cool, right?
You know, in Rio,
do I
in
get
Rio,
you or what?
In Rio, I was fully prepared to sleep on the beach. And it's amazing, though. I was working the Dick's Sporting Goods Open in my hometown and happened to come across a lady who literally got beat up on the beach in Rio and survived it. I mean, tremendous, like, brain operations.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Stuff. And it was like...
You mean she got attacked?
What's that?
She got attacked?
She did, yeah.
Oh, just my
by
gosh.
This homeless guy. So it was like it was kind of like a godsend, though. I mean, she survived. You know, you can survive anything, but I'll tell you, I do. I show up. And usually I've planted a few seeds, but people figure me out, and they just, it was amazing. I mean, I ended up not staying on the beach. I stayed with this incredible lady, Fatima, for five nights, and then she kicked me out because she had a real golf writer coming in for the Olympics. And then I just amazingly found this German couple, and I ended up staying in their servant quarters on this 20-story penthouse that was just unbelievable.
And where did you meet this German couple?
I met them online. You know, I go online and just say, hey, I'm Andy. I need help. Can you help me?
Unbelievable. So now you go, after 2013, you go back to the Olympics this past summer. You're just talking about that. And, you know, the men's tournament, you know, you go for about a week, you know, and you watch the men and then the women. But you stayed for over 4 weeks. You take it all in. You savor the experience.
Well, I had to stay because I had an invitation from Gil Hans when I walked the Olympic course when it was a well-designed sandbox. He said I could play the golf course the next time I was down there. So I did. I came a week early, stayed a week later, and it was the most amazing. Just not only just the golf, the spirit of the Olympic golf, but the whole Olympic. I had never been that close to Olympics. I think, what have you done, 7? But for me, you know, I was there in L.A. in 84, but my oldest son, Joe, was born June 30th, right in the middle of it. I don't even think we saw one event. So it was amazing experience, amazing. Go to Olympics if you get a chance.
Yeah, I always say that, Andy. It's a good point. I always say if you have any opportunity to go and watch or, you know, to work on Olympics or just to be a part of it in any way, it is just so worth it because it's a whole different excitement. And Ryder Cup excitement is amazing. You know, that international competition just got back from Hazeltine. But the Olympics, it's on such a grander scale. So many different sports, so many different areas of, you know, the city and country are, you know, the venues. And, I mean, I could write a book just on my Olympic experiences. But, you know, Matt Kuchar, the bronze medalist from this summer's golf Olympic competition, I thought his quote was really cool when he said he can't explain to you the pride I feel just burning out of my body. I think that's what he said. You know, he closed with a 63, won the bronze, but he had so much pride to represent the United States. And that's what it's all about, right? That pride and good sportsmanship and hopefully all the positive qualities that, you know, you want to hear and read about in sports, right? I mean, did you feel that way when you were there?
Yeah, and I think the really cool spirit is, you know, we have a lot of international golf events that people from all over the world compete, but they're typically a small field, the best golfers. The thing about the Olympics that was extraordinary being there is there's like 34 different countries in the men's, 34 different countries in the women, and they're not all the absolute best golfers in the world, but they all have a huge heart for the game of golf, and they have this huge passion just to be open-minded and embracing of every other human being in the world. And it's all their fans are like that, too. So, I mean, it was amazing. I got you walking along the ropes, hey, there's Gary Player. I got to talk to him and interview him on camera. And, you know, people at the Olympics, and I would say that's probably where golf will be a little bit different. I mean, and I think they have a place in the Olympics is that, golf is a lot like life. You know, you can't be good at this game without getting outside of yourself. And the people around golf want to relate to other people. And this world is such a tiny place. We are so very connected and so much alike versus so little differences between us.
That's right. Absolutely great point. And golf is such a great connector, as you say, and a common denominator of passion for so many people. And it brings so many people together, right? So now, did you play? So you did play the course? You hung out long enough to play? Or don't tell me you didn't play it, because then I'll be really upset.
No, I'm going to upset you once again, Anne, you know.
You never got on the course? You know, after all that?
Here's the story, okay?
You should have called me. I could have made a call to Gil Hans for you.
Hey, God love you. Gil Hans did everything he could. But, you know, the golf architect, once the course is built and the IGF and everybody else is running it, it's difficult. I mean, he did everything he could. But here's the story. So the Monday after the women's, I show up. It's the IGF President's Golf Day, which is Dawson from the RNA. And I just politely went up to him. I showed him my artwork that Suzanne McCork did on the journey to Olympic golf. I said, hey, I'm here. If there's an opening, I'd love to play. I'll sit over there. Just wait. So I'm waiting. At the very end, looks like I'm getting in. The lady that's running it, ready to check me in. You know, it was a shotgun start. And this guy shows up at the last minute. And you know what his name was? Take a guess. Maybe you know him.
Who?
His name was Michael Jordan, or Michael Jackson. And I'm like, dude, I thought you had died. What are you doing here? You know? So I didn't get to play. So then I come back a couple of days later, and it's deserted. There's nobody. I go through the clubhouse. So in my nice casual way, I just kind of make my way out to the 10th tee. And
and you, where'd you get the clubs? You didn't haul your clubs down, did you?
Oh, it's the way things work out for me. I stayed with Sebastian and Nora, and Sebastian had a great set of clubs for me.
Of course. Okay. In their penthouse.
Out there, I'm getting ready to put the tee in the ground. I'm like, I feel, well, you know, a little nervous. So out comes Neil Cleverly, who didn't think my little venture was too clever. But I whip out my cell phone, show him the video of Gil Hanse's invitation. He's like, hey, that's not an invitation. You can't play. And I go, you know, and I told him about the journey of the spirit. He goes, hey, we just, you know, put the chemicals on the green. And if I let you play, and he pointed up to all the high rises, there's probably 100 people from around the world up there watching us right now. If I let you play, I'm gonna be in big trouble. And then I waited to my last day. I set the alarm for 6 a.m. I was going to go, just play the last three holes, wake up about 10 to 6, and just, you know, that's not how I want to play the course. You know, it's not the spirit I want to play in it. But I'll go back, and I'll tell you, it's a golf destination. I mean, if you could get a couple other courses there, or even go out to Beto Chiclet and go to the first public course, take the two-hour bus train ride out, and play that course, that's a remarkable journey. But it's a great course. I'll play it someday. And
you'll be back. You have enough people there now that you know who will gladly host you and lend you clubs. And I can't believe of all the people you knew there that you couldn't get on. But we forgot to mention one major detail, Andy, and that is you had no media credential this entire time. So how did you get tickets? How did you get in?
You know, and that was, you know, I bought the flight out of JFK, and I went on to the internet and bought general admission tickets. And I got to tell you again, you know, you got the flag. You know, my heart was in the right place. I'm hanging out afterwards. And the thing is, from Glen Echo, when I played it in 2013, you know, they're the only club in the States that flies the Olympic rings. They have a torch outside. They gave me a replica golf medal from 1904 when George Lyons won. And I asked for two more to give to the gold medalist. And actually, I had another one because I think I gave Kuchar one. And, you know, that I was just hanging out. It's funny, I was hanging out with this 20-year-old kid from England that's going to be prime minister someday. And he just wanted to get his picture with Justin Rose. And those guys, again, we were nobody. We were standing outside, you know, and they didn't forget about us.
Were invited in, is that it? To check it out?
Yeah.
With the winners? Get on the gold medal podium with Justin?
No, we didn't get the full media treatment, but we got a few minutes with him and a picture.
Right. Well, it was a great showdown between Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson for an Olympic game that had so much, you know, as far as inclusion of golf for the first time since 1904, you know, for all the criticism that and skepticism that, you know, was there prior to these games, it really turned out to be a wonderful event, right? And the match between Rose and Stenson was amazing, and Rose you know, wins it with a birdie on the last hole, and Stenson bogeyed it. But and then the fact that an American medaled, you know, with Matt Kuchar, I mean, it was really great. And then the women's in Inbee Park, I mean, what a putter, what a player she is. I walked with her when she won the U.S. Open out here at Sabonic, and boy, you know, if anybody deserves a gold medal in the women's, it's her. So it really turned out to be a great event. What else did you enjoy there? I mean, what other sports did you go to?
Well, the other thing I just say is a pillar, her heart there in the women's side. And Stacey Lewis, she had a eagle putt on 16. She finished one stroke out of the medal. So it was just incredible. You know, it's funny. So I get there early. I did find a bed. And my thing was I took a whole day, buses and trains and whatever, to do a loop around Rio. And Rio, you gotta realize it's kind of like a mini state. I mean, it's, you know, got a mountain range in the middle. And so I go to the Olympic Park, and you know, I wasn't really planning to go to any events, but there's a I didn't even know what it was at first, but it was a ticket booth, and they had an English translator. So I ended up going to see basketball, swimming. I did see Lockie in the qualifiers. Didn't run into him at night or anything, though. Tennis, team handball.
Good for
and
you.
Volleyball.
So you kind of, you did the whole experience. That's what I love about you. You kind of, you know, just do it all. And you also went to South Africa. That was another huge trip earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, I was there for a month and a half, and got back just in time for the PGA show there in January. So this, I'm a little out of sequence this year because I did the winter trip in the late summer in Rio. So you know, South Africa, unbelievable.
What did you like most about that trip, Andy?
You know, I would say the people, the nature. I mean, being in Kruger Park, pulling over, turning off the engine, and having a giraffe chomping at a tree, you know, literally 20 feet from the elephants. You know, and the whole country thing with apartheid, and, you know, they are very, very progressive with the race relations. And they're just a beautiful people, black and white. Joburg's a little bit different, a little dicey. Went out to Soweto, saw all about Mandela's beginning. Went down to Cape Town, which is extraordinary, the Garden Route.
And you basically played. You played a lot of golf on that trip because I follow you on Facebook. You have a great following on Facebook, and you were able to experience again so many different golf courses and meet so many crazy people. Now, how did you transition from the business world to golf? Because you weren't, you know, people really want to know, like, what you did before you, you know, became this golf traveler extraordinaire, writing all these diaries.
Well, again, just a comment on South Africa. The connection there was my friend Nadia Allen, whose father, Fulton Allen, great golfer, was inducted to the Hall of Fame down there. So that's where the genesis of the trip came. You know, my story is, grew up, great life. I was a little bit up the mainland from you, up there in Binghamton, New York. Idyllic childhood, first 17 years. Went and got a BS in chemical engineering, an MBA from Pepperdine. Worked in the oil business, worked in the plastics. Found myself, you know, 10 years ago, single, two great sons, college educated on their own. I had written two books, one about inspirational living, one about inspirational leadership. And, you know, I just realized life's too short. So I said, my passions were golf and writing. So I'm going to move to Ponte Vedra Beach and become a golf writer for the PGA Tour. And 9 years later, I'm still freelance, which is another name for unemployed. But I've had the time of my life. And
you really have.
You know, every no in life is really a yes if you really look deep within and know what you think your passions are.
That's absolutely true. You've turned any perceived failures, I don't believe in the word failure, but anything perceived negative into a total positive. You have two books you've written that you've self-published. I mean, you really have initiated so much in your life, and you've been all over the place. So what do you think you've learned most about people in all your travels?
You know, I think in people are just like me. They're not perfect. Just like me and my parents and my siblings, they're not perfect. They love life. They want to be open. They want to be giving. They want to be in connection. So if you present yourself in the right way and want to give as much as you want to receive or need to receive, it's a beautiful thing. And we're only here so very, very short time, very short.
And that is why Andy Reistetter has come on my show, because I love your attitude. Andy, golftraveldiary.com. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend. And where do we see you next?
Definitely the PGA show.
Okay.
But,
that's not too far away.
Who knows?
That's right around the corner in Orlando. Andy, thanks so much. Continued success and fun, right?
Thank you, Ann. I had a wonderful time. Can't wait to see you again.
With your journey. Andy Reistetter. I love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break and talk with Brian Hepler when we come back from To Theta Golf. He has another fascinating story about his own journey, finding his purpose in life. Sports Interview with Ann LaGoria is brought to you in part by Enhance Revolutionary Wood Renewal of Eastern Suffolk County, serving all of Long Island. You can have beautiful cabinets again without the dust, mess, or odor with a choice of colors and stains. The patented and innovative process is safe for pets. More information online at Enhance, that's NHANCE.com, or by phone, 631-740-7934. Should we care for what they're selling us anyway? We're so young, girl.